Please come back with me to a text from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. It's printed for you in the worship brochure. Isaiah lived in what may be called, or indeed some has called it, the first Jewish Holocaust. It happened somewhere between 740, 700 BC or so, when the ancient Assyrians stampeded their way across the northern kingdom and reigned terror for about a 40-year period or so on that land. And finally, in 722 BC, the northern kingdom was wiped out, its people exiled. In this chapter, the prophet is addressing the southern kingdom of Israel, called Judah. And as it were, he is telling them, you are like a thriving forest. You are the Davidic kingdom. And the king sitting on David's throne is like a giant oak, let us say. But know that your enemies, the Babylonians, will come, invade your land, cut down your forest, and cut down that giant of an oak, the king of the royal house of David. However, know that your God is merciful. He will not abandon you. There will be a shoot from the roots of the stump of Jesse. A Savior will be born. And so the word for us on this Advent Sunday is the word that God gave to Israel then. As dark as the days may be, there is hope. When all else fails, God is still God. In the worst of times, help is on the way. A Savior has come. So we deal with hope today of First Advent Sunday. God promised them, though exiled, and though the nation, as it were, is reduced so like stumps in the ground, they will come a shoot from the root of Jesse. The nation will be delivered. So first of all, let us think about our Advent hero, the hero, the helper of Advent. There will spring forth a shoot from the root of Jesse. The nation of Israel had broken covenant with their covenant God Yahweh. Isaiah describes them this way. Your rulers are rebels, companions of thieves. They love bribes, and they chase after gifts. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Those who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Sounds very much like today, doesn't it? And the prophet therefore warns, judgment would come. Exile would be yours. And he describes all of this using, let us say, metaphors from nature, both the tree and the animals later on. The royal house of David, like a giant tree, will be cut down, left as a stump in the ground. But unlike other stumps, this one will spring forth Its root would have a shoot. There would be new life. There would be hope. Other stumps rot in the ground. Not this one. It comes to life. I'm sure you have had the experiences I've had of something growing in the yard and you cut it down. All that's there is a stump. Huh? And it springs to life again. And you try the next year, and guess what? It still springs to life. Whatever you do, the thing, as it were, would not die. God's people are something like that. Theologians call it the remnant. There is always that faithful element. The advent of the hero would come. And who is this hero? He is called a shoot from the root of Jesse. Now, who is Jesse? Jesse is the ancient ancestor of Jesus. Really, he is the father of King David. And what does the New Testament call Jesus? The New Testament calls Jesus the son of David, one of the royal line of David. So Isaiah is speaking not about Jesse, or about David, but about Jesus, who comes as a descendant of David and Jesse. Jesus himself is that shoot, that one who comes to save his own. Notice, friends, the stump is in the ground. One shoot, one shoot, one branch. For the human race is not saved by a committee. It is saved by one, even Jesus Christ. The message for Advent 2011 is this: Jesus is our saving Lord. What he did 2,000 years ago, though for some of us it's like an old stump buried in the ground, it lives, it survives, it springs forth, it is effective. The old root is there. We may think it's dead and gone. It's very much alive. So the hope of the world today is not in some new political system or philosophy. The hope of the world today is not in some new ideas that we could come up with. Sorry to offend some, the hope of the world is the old-time religion. As expressed in the creeds that we say in church, I believe in God the Father Almighty. God sent his Son. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus rose. There is forgiveness of sins through him. That is the saving gospel. As I love to say, Jesus is not only our Savior. Jesus is our only Savior. He is, as it were, that shoot from the root of Jesse. He is our Advent hero. He alone protects. He alone saves. He alone delivers his people. And so we look to no one else. We may think we are capable. He alone is the root. An executive was getting ready to leave home for a long month of business away, and before he left, he got his family together and he offered a prayer, as many of us have done. And he prayed, "Lord, please protect Sharon and the children while I am gone." His wife looked up at him when he was done. And she asked him, "Who do you think protect us while you are here?" Maybe some guys, you need expert protection when they're home too. Who do you think protect us all the time? It is the Lord, our Advent hero. the root of Jesse will spring forth, buried in the ground, apparently all dead and gone. He lives. But secondly, we could ask ourselves not only about this Advent hero, but we could ask ourselves about the attitude of this Advent hero, his attitude. And I use the word attitude because I've noticed recently some of the people who promote and advertise cars refer to the colors as the attitude of the car, the attitude, or the attributes of this hero. What do we read in the text? Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what he sees or decide by what his ears hear. The attitude, the attributes of this Advent hero. And notice what reoccurs, the Spirit of the Lord. And so he has the gifts of the Spirit. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, power. The Advent hero of God is one of super intelligence. We say he knows it all. He is all-knowing. The big word is he's omniscient. We need to hear that today. You know why? Some of us boast how smart we are. Our IQ, our intelligence, the schools we attended, the credentials we have. Don't put yourself alongside this one. He is the essence of intelligence. He is wisdom personified. He is the God of all knowledge. Look at the world today. As I see it, friends, most of our problems are caused by the intelligent class. You live within your means, they don't. Think of the trillions of dollars in debt we face. They claim to know when human life begins. Do you? I don't. I'm not God. But they know. The intelligent class. I don't even know how warm it is outside, but they could tell me how warm the earth will be 100 years from now. You know, the intelligent class. So the economies of the world are tumbling because of these geniuses. Where there is no God, there is no wisdom. There is no wisdom where there is no God. Many of them have forgotten God. And so we are where we are today because some people think they know it all. He is wisdom. He is knowledge. We are people of the dark, seeking to know. And so there are many who would like to be the saviors of the world. But there is none like he. As Martin Luther, the reformer, puts it in that hymn, a mighty fortress is our God. He is the man of God's own choosing. There shall come a shoot from the root of Jesse. He is our Advent hero. And this is his attitude. He is a man of superior knowledge. And so we, like Israel, are God's embattled children in the world today. We are broken down like that forest. Sometimes our lives are falling apart. You may even feel as though you live in an exile, cut off. You may be struggling to gather up the pieces of your life and make sense out of what makes no sense. And yes, we go on. We take a blow here, we take a blow there. We take it, we bear it. Yes, we keep a stiff upper lip and we carry on. We can't let them see us sweat. But deep inside, we long for something better, don't we? Deep inside, we long to be gathered up. We long to be loved. We long to be saved. We want to be kept. Deep inside, we want the uncertainty of the night to pass and for the dawning of a beautiful day. Advent says, God has sent one who opens the eyes of the blind. He sets the captives free. He preached the year of the acceptable truth and kingdom of God. So if your life is like a lowly stump, if you feel as though people just walk over you, step on you, you feel as though you are just overlooked and looked over, there's nothing much to you. No one cares about you. Just a lowly stump in the ground. This word is for you today. Do not lose hope. Do not give up. A smile may yet come from that stiff face. The person in the coma these many months may yet open their eyes and look at you. Your disease may go into remission. Your prodigal son or daughter may come home. That which is lost may be found. That which is dead may be alive. All things are possible with God. The root in the ground seems dead. But here is this hero of Advent and his attitude, his attributes. He knows it all. He can do it all, as the text tells us. The Spirit of the Lord rests on him. The Spirit of the Lord rests on him. Salvation is ours. So the next time God steps into your life and does something beautiful for you, as you go through life and you know his deliverance, know that the blessings you receive are not your own or of your own doing. They are from God. In the Handbook magazine, there's an article there written by Phillips Barry Osborne. It tells a little piece about Alex Haley, the author of Roots. Alex Haley says he has a picture in his office. It's the picture of a turtle sitting atop a fence post. And he says, if you see a turtle on a fence post, you know it got some help to get there. So he says, Alex said, anytime I begin to think that I have delivered myself, I have done so well, I am so great and important, I'm so smart, I've done all of this wonderful stuff by myself. Anytime, he said, I'm tempted to think like that, I look at that picture and I remind myself, I got some help to get here. All help comes from the Lord, amen, who made heaven and earth. Our Advent helper is here. He stoops. He delivers. Thirdly and finally, not only do we see this hero of Advent, his attitude, look at his marvelous achievements. From verse 6 to 10 of the text, whatever this ruler does transforms society. Under his rule, the wolf shall lie with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. Now, this isn't a child. This is a young goat. You know that, right? Young goat.
the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child should lead them. And he talks about the cow and the bear grazing in verse 7 and verse 8, the nursing child shall play over the hole of an asp. And verse 9, they will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And on that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. What a wonderful thing. Our Advent hero, his achievement, he brings perfect peace, permanent peace to a troubled world. Now, I have been to many zoos, so have you. And I've never seen anything like what he describes here happening in a zoo. Neither have you. These animals are in zoos, but they're white, deep canals, sometimes moats separating them. Appropriately, they're iron cages as well. For no one wants the lamb to become fast food for the wolf. And so Isaiah speaks about the day of the Savior's coming. There will be a reversal of things as we now know them. Society would be tame. There would be peace. Now you may ask me, let's say, preacher, is this literal or is it all symbolic? Well, you have to come to Bible Talk Back for that answer. The brief answer for Sunday morning is, I answer the question with a question. Is it literal or symbolic? My answer is anything too hard for God to do? What do you think? I know you don't like that answer, but that's the answer for today. Would not the God of peace want us to live in peace? So Isaiah uses animal imagery here, moving from, you know, agriculture, horticulture, the trees, now to the animals. And he is really telling us in some ways that human beings often act like animals. Consider the conflict in Iraq, the bloodshed that's still taking place there, the slaughter in Afghanistan. We see it in Syria, the streets of Egypt. People living like animals. But friends, you don't have to go very far. Just think about Black Friday, 2008. A Walmart security guard trampled to death, and the people stepped over him and went to do their shopping. And this year, we hear about the shootings and the robbery and pepper spraying to get an Xbox 360, and the report about this man who got a heart attack and collapsed, and people stepped over him, the report said, and walked around him just to get their shopping done. We act like animals sometimes. Animal kingdom. That's what we are. And Isaiah is saying a better day is coming. A day when we would have a kingdom not ruled by the politicians and the parliamentarians of the ages. But a day is coming when Messiah, the root from the shoot of Jesse, would reign. And when that comes, there would be peace. There will be inner change in the human heart. Something like the change that will cause the leper to look at the lamb and don't want to devour it. There will be a change in the human heart. But some may say, preacher, that would never happen. I think it could. Why? Because the prophet Ezekiel did say, the Lord will take away our hearts of stone. The prophet Jeremiah should say, take away our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh. We would live peaceably.
Just think of our lives. How many of you have happiness in your home? At times we devour each other in the home, in society, on the job, and in the church. We just devour each other. Here is a promise of a life in which we do not hurt each other anymore. Now you may say, come on, be realistic. That's wishful thinking. Well, it's Advent. This is a time to wish, ain't it? This is a time to hope. This is a time to long for better things. And every believing heart believes and hopes and wishes and knows that through Christ, this is more than a wish. It's more than a dream. It is a dream that will come true. For the promises of the Savior are stronger than the evils of men. The Lord Jesus would come and make our hearts right. And so we read in the text, the wolf will lie with the lamb. The leper shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together. A little child would lead them. I don't think he's talking about that aspect of nature alone. He's talking about what will come into our lives if we open our hearts and allow the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Glory, to come in. Edward Hicks, feeding off of Isaiah 11, has given us that wonderful painting we know as the Peaceable Kingdom. He tries to deal with the delicate balance and the difficulties of our unresolved issues and relationships. And so he gives us a picture of the lion and the lamb and the bear and the wolf and the calf and all of these things. And a little child in the scene, of course. Living in peace and harmony. But what gets in the way of that peace? He would tell us. The true foe is self-will, human ego, greed, lust, the slanderous poison under our lips. We need a new authority in our lives, he would say. We need a purer self. We need clean hands and pure hearts. As a little boy, I used to join in with Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, and Humpty Dumpty had that great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men can put Humpty Dumpty together again. I did a little research trying to find out the history behind this thing, but there's hardly consensus around it. Whatever Humpty Dumpty was, we're not sure. Maybe that big old egg on a wall. I don't want to tell you what some people really think it is. It may offend a few. But our lives, our society, is like Humpty Dumpty. We have had a fall. Something has gone wrong on the inside. We are broken. And all that we do, we can't put ourselves back together again. Thank God, he sent his son. Amen. He has come. Let him do his job to put us back together again. Help is on the way. Think of the hero of the times, his advent. He came in the flesh, his attitude. He is here with the knowledge, the wisdom, and the Spirit of God to save us, he will achieve it. We will live in peace, in his kingdom of peace. Amen. Amen. His name is Wonderful, number 174. Gracious God, we thank you for the message of this season. We thank you that there is hope. God has sent his Son. Let us hear this word today deep in our hearts. And let us bring it into our lives. You may be in a situation that seems so difficult, so dark, so hopeless. Did you hear the word today? The Lord is saying to you, help is on the way. Do not give up. Christ Jesus has come. He is here among us. You may look at yourself as a stump in the ground and think, nothing good can come out of this. Trust him. He can turn things around. You may live again. You may be happy again. You may smile again. You may get back on top of your game. You may overcome this. It's not a life sentence. Turn to him and say, Lord Jesus, I feel down, I feel crushed, I feel defeated. Yes, I feel I'm down to my roots. I need a spring, I need a shoot, I need a branch. Reach down and help me, O God. Give me your hope. In the name of Christ. Amen. Now let us give our gifts to God.